And here we read, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." I trust the Lord will prepare our hearts for what we want to look from a portion of this in the coming moments. Let's look to him in prayer, shall we? We are grateful, Father, again for this day. Thankful that we can be here. Thankful for these whose hearts you touched this morning, who consciously made the choice to get themselves ready and come to church. How we praise you for each and every one that has gathered today to worship you and to fellowship with other believers. We trust you are being glorified by our gathering here and all that has taken place so far. And I pray that glory would continue to be extended toward you as we are now at that portion of our service where we consciously take a look at your word and try to determine what it is saying to us and what it means to us in these times in which we live, and how we can apply its truths to our own hearts and lives. Father, we got word just before our service this morning that one of our brothers, for whom we mentioned, or whose name we mentioned before Sunday school, had a rough night last night. And we think of Mark Fleming. They had to take him to the emergency room because there was such extreme pain, having to put him on morphine. We just asked, Lord, as he just found out this past week that he has pancreatic cancer, that you would work your will, your way in his life, bring glory to yourself. Give them grace, Lord, to face what is ahead. Now, as we look to your word, teach us. We thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Betty did just share that with me as she came in this morning, that she received word from her sister Mark's wife about the events of last night. Let us continue to be in prayer for the Flemings with this most recent development with his pancreatic cancer. I got a question for you. You don't have to answer me, but just to ask yourself. Are you an honest person? I know what you're all thinking. I can read your thoughts. Here's a question, though. Are you honest with God? Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? Are you willing to change for the better? Really? I want us to look at three passages this morning. We're a little bit different than we often are, where we just take a portion and exposit through it, but I want us to approach it a bit differently this morning and look at three different passages. And as we look at these, here's an assignment for you. I want you to decide, number one, your honesty with the Lord, and number two, your willingness to do anything about it if a change ought to be made. You got your assignment? All right. If you have your Bibles still open, look at verse 8 of Psalm 143. But if you don't, turn to it, please. Psalm 148, verse 3. And in that verse, this Psalm of David, listen to what he told the Lord. The last part of that eighth verse, he said this, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Is there anything unusual about that? Many times we often say, ignorance is what? Bliss. Sadly, I'm afraid many Christians have that attitude toward spiritual matters. Goes something kind of like this. If I don't know, I may have an excuse. If I don't know what God expects of me, then I have an excuse, don't I? But once I know what God expects, that makes me what? Accountable. So, his words there in the middle of that verse 8 is, cause me. That sounds like the psalmist is telling the Lord, do what you have to do to get me to know the way wherein I should walk. Now here again, I don't want any raised hands, but are you comfortable telling the Lord that? Cause me to know how I'm supposed to walk. Walk is a term for live my life. orchestrate the circumstances however you have to orchestrate them, Lord, so I will know what I'm supposed to be doing, how I'm supposed to be living my life. I want to look at some other references. I did such a good job in teaching the Sunday school lesson this morning, giving references, I'm almost afraid to give them out right now. Hopefully I'll do better. Psalm 5, verse 8 says this. If you want to just listen, it says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of mine enemies." And then the psalmist says, "Make your way straight before my face." Many, many times we find ourselves as Christians saying, "I just wish I knew how God wanted me to live my life. I just wish I knew what God's will was in this." But here, the psalmist is saying in Psalm 5:8, "Lead me in your righteousness, O Lord, and make your way straight before my face." Do you have the courage to tell that to the Lord and mean it? Here's another one, Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Again, let me read them for you. You can just listen, jot the references down. "Show me thy paths, O Lord." Pardon me. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day." Once again, that's some pretty hefty things to be telling the Lord if you really mean it. Now, if you don't mean it, if it's just words, we can utter those words and just go on. And sadly, many, many times I'm fearful that that's what we do. Many, many times we can have some pie-in-the-sky sounding words as far as our relationship and what we are wanting God to do and what we're looking to Him to do. But as we look at this Psalm 5 and as we look at this Psalm 25, once again, it's a Psalm of David, and it sounds like he was sincere. He was intense in his relationship with the Lord, and he wanted to make sure he had it right. Do you? One more reference, and that's Psalm 119, verse 33. Here the psalmist said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes," or your words, "and I shall keep it unto the end." Show me what I'm supposed to do, and I will do it. Do you have the desire and the honesty to tell that to the Lord? Is there a desire to really know what God wants for you in your life? There's an incident in the book of Genesis. I invite you to turn to this, Genesis 32. It's the account of when Jacob was on his way back to meet up with his brother Esau. Remember, Jacob had run away years earlier. 20-some years had passed since Jacob had left home, getting away from Esau, his older brother, because Jacob had tricked Esau out of his birthright and his father's blessing. And so for over 20 years, Jacob had been away. He had raised a family, and the Lord had indicated to him, it's time to go back, time to go back. You need to meet up with your brother. And so here in chapter 32, as it was just the night before the two brothers would meet up face to face, it tells us here in verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob had made plans with his wives and children, had sent them all in a certain direction, and he was left alone, and there met up with him this man wrestling with him. Where did he come from? Well, he was an angel of the Lord. And when he saw, he, Jacob, saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. This is now, this angel of the Lord saw that Jacob wasn't going to let go of him. This angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. That was the angel of the Lord said, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go. That was Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Are you that honest with the Lord that you're willing to tell the Lord, you know, I so want to know the way wherein I should walk that I'm just going to hang on to you until you answer my prayer. Something to think about, isn't it? Well, next in Psalm 143, let's move on to our second verse. In our second verse, I want us to drop our eyes down to that 10th verse. We drop from 8 to 10. And it says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. In verse 8, I want you to do whatever it takes to show me so that I will know how I'm supposed to be walking in fellowship with you and in the right way. And now here in verse 10, we've taken it a step further. It's as if the psalmist is saying, okay, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know how to do it. Now in verse 10, teach me to do your will. The first one was cause me to know. The second one is teach me to do. Again, world of difference between knowing and doing. Notice the psalmist didn't say here, just help me to understand what your will is, or help me to just get a little better grasp of it. The world of difference between knowing and doing, so much so that by the time we get to the New Testament and we read James' writing, we discover that in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to that one who knows what they're supposed to be doing and will not do it, what's the name for that? Huh? Sin. We pat ourselves many times on the back. Yeah, I know what God wants for my life. But if I'm not doing it, I'm sinning. Doing. And this is what here in this second reference, teach me to do. Let me give you a homey illustration, and Kim's going to like this one. We came here 46 years ago, and Kim was 6 years old. I didn't remember. I knew Mom would know, so I asked Mom. How old were our girls when we came? 6 and 3. And we had moved from St. Louis, kind of like we lived in right in the center of residential area there, just like Detroit. It was nothing but a cement jungle. And Kim did not know how to ride a bike when we came here at age 6. She had a bike, but her dad had trouble just taking her and pushing her along and letting her go and falling on that concrete. I knew what that would do to those little knees and hands and arms. So guess what? When we moved here, we live on a dirt road. Dad was happy. Kim was in tears. Because it wasn't long after we got here that I got her bike out one day. And I said, Kim, come on. Daddy's going to teach you how to ride your bike. Now, she had watched people ride bikes before, probably had training wheels on them there in that cement jungle, but mean old daddy had taken those training wheels off. I think they're worthless. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to do it. And so here on this little bike, Kim started in, and I got behind and started running along behind, pushing, helping her, making sure she was in the middle of that dirt road. Guess what? She fell. She cried. She didn't want to do this. But you know, mean old daddy, he said, no, let's get back up. Let's get back on that bike again. And let's try it again. And you know, it didn't take very many falls. And she figured out, hey, you know, if you wiggle this thing back and forth when you're moving those pedals, looky there. And she mastered it because Daddy finally had taught her how. So why should I be so concerned in this passage? Because we might know what God's will is. He may have caused us to know, verse 8, what His will is, but we need to take it the next step further and be honest enough and ask Him to teach me to do your will, because you are my God. You are my God. I ought to be concerned about what pleases you. I ought to be concerned about doing the right thing. In Romans chapter 12, a very familiar portion of Scripture, Paul put it this way when he said in those first two verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's some action. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, and you know what he called it? It's your reasonable service. In light of who God is and what he is, it's the least we can do. It's the most fitting thing we can do to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, usable unto the Lord. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, as we look at this text, I need you to teach me to do your will. You're my God. It's the most reasonable thing I ought to be doing when I understand who you are. And then teach me to do. Teach me to do. There are some references that I want us to look at before we move to our third and final verse. In line of this teaching me to do, Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Let me read it for you. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Just like Kim learning to ride that bike, she fell numerous times, but we picked her back up again and we put her back on. And here the psalmist is saying, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and sometimes he falls. He fails. That's not the end of it. He gets himself up. He confesses his failures to the Lord, and the Lord upholds him. The Lord upholds him with his hand. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11, we read these words. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Are you honest enough to tell the Lord that? Teach me your way. I will walk in it. Psalm 119, I read these words for you. Jot them down if you want to, note takers. Verse 5 of Psalm 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes or your word. Oh, that my ways were such that I kept your word. Is that your heart's prayer to the Lord? What about verse 33? Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And then verse 133, the psalmist said this, order my steps, or direct my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. again, remember, I had an assignment to you at the outset of this. Are you honest? Are you willing to honestly tell the Lord, I need some changes. I need some changes in my life. My life isn't what it ought to be. I need you, Lord, to cause me to know the way that I ought to be walking. I need you, Lord, to teach me not just to know, but to do what your will is, because you're my God. And finally, I invite you to turn with me to 119, verse 35. And we see again a very similar honest expression from the psalmist. Because in Psalm 119, verse 35, here he says, make me to go. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Cause me to know, teach me to do, make me to go. In the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Cause me to go. Cause me to march. Lead me with a moral application in this, Lord. I'm not satisfied with just knowing about what my life ought to be with you. Lord, I want it to be lived in reality. The path, that's the word that's used here in verse 35 of Psalm 119. Make me to go in the path of your commandments. To me, path is doesn't sound like an expressway. A path many times is what? Kind of a narrow thing, isn't it? And many times, if you stray off the path, what happens? You get yourself in trouble, don't we? The path. He didn't say paths. He didn't say highways. But it makes it sound like there's only one way to obey God's word. This path, let me just tell you, is not going to be a popular way. If you mean business with the Lord and you want to be serious like the psalmist was, there's a good chance you're going to be misunderstood. There's a good chance you're going to be called fanatical. There's a good chance you might be ridiculed. Probably pretty much assume that if you try to live by the book, people are going to be telling you, well, that's outdated. That doesn't apply to us today. I wonder if there are any takers as you've sat and listened this morning. I wonder if there's anyone that would say, you know, Pastor, I have listened and I have taken survey of my own heart, my own relationship to the Lord, and I know what the psalmist is asking is not going to be easy. I know that it's going to take determination. I know that it's not going to be popular. But that's what I want to say to the Lord. I want to tell the Lord, Lord, orchestrate those circumstances in my life so that I will know the way I ought to be living my life. And once you've orchestrated those circumstances, I want you to teach me to do what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And if I'm a little bit reluctant, Lord, I want you to make me to go in the path that is according to your word. I can well imagine that someone is probably sitting there thinking, but I thought God never forced anyone to do anything. Here's three accounts that we've looked at of a depth of desire that is well above normal. Anyone honest enough, serious enough to give God permission? Would God do that? Our message title this morning is, He Will If You Will. I'm closing inviting you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah, I saw somebody look at their watch. We're trying to make up for some of those other times when we've gone a little over. You're going to get out early today. Mark it down. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God which worketh in you," notice, "both to will," are you willing? God will do that. "God worketh in you both to will," and then what? "And to," what's the rest of it? "Do His good pleasure." He'll do it if you're willing to do it. God knows how to change our hearts, and He'll do it if we mean business with Him. Let's close in prayer. I thank you, Father, for these moments that we have had. I thank you for the expression of the psalmist. Sounds like this man meant business with you. And as you see our hearts, I trust that you might see in us some heart that means business with you in these same areas that these verses brought to our attention. Lord, words are not enough. You look for changed lives. I pray that our hearts would be such that you can accomplish your will in our lives to your glory. You know what needs to be done. We commit this to you. In your name I pray. Amen.